Coach Lance. He's talking to Coach Lance on there.
Lance Reisland?
That's right.
Love Coach Lance.
Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy and Mentor.
All right, you want to get to the Shador call here?
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely.
We're going to get back to Class A. Trust me, ain't going anywhere, at least not until August 31st. Say what?
Cool Ray called back in?
No, we got another person here. Because I don't understand how I went from defending Shador Sanders on anything to whatever that call was in the last segment.
I have no idea. We talked about this during the break because I was like, was it lost in translation? I thought you said what was obvious, that it had to be humbling for him to think he was going
number
two overall to 144.
Yeah.
Like, how would that not humble you?
The thing about, he needs to be, it's like, no. There's no humbling needed. That is a humbling enough experience. And we've said that for any person who's ever had a fall. Now, usually that fall is usually from the first five to around 26 or 22 or 27.
Yeah, this was an unprecedented drop.
This was, and we have to admit what it was. It was unprecedented. That's what it was. So I think that that type of a fall can have an effect on somebody. You're telling me your whole team is with you. Your agent, your father, your quarterback coach, your other coaches that you have, your wellness team, everybody you have around you as a modern day high profile athlete. And you all believe that you're going to go somewhere in the first 10 picks, somewhere in there, probably top five. Remember, Deion himself said it. I think it was at the Super Bowl when he had said it in the interview. His goal is to beat me. I went number fifth overall. He wants to go somewhere in the top four. You go from that to 144. I think that that's going to have an effect on you. So when we're talking about competitions and wanting to see him with ones, I don't need to see him with ones in the first week of training camp. I'm sure we will have our game at some point where Shador is going to start. I don't think he's going to get cut. I damn sure don't think he's going to get traded. I don't think either of those things are going to happen. I damn sure don't think either of those things are going to happen. I think we'll eventually get our chance because somewhere there's untapped potential that we need to tap into. And stringing together good practices with guys in Browns jerseys, even though, no, I don't intend on you for, no offense to Sam Cannella, Sal Cannella.
No.
No offense to Sal Cannella. I just don't, hopefully he becomes the next great thing, but I just don't anticipate him playing on Sundays for the Cleveland Browns. So hopefully you will throw to Jerry Jeudy in meaningful games someday. But it doesn't need to be on July 28th. You need to command the offense. I would like to see, if I'm in a huddle with Shador Sanders, I'd like to see him maybe correct some of the guys. If I'm one of these coaches, hey, this is what you do. This is what you do here. That's what you do there. Whoa. I threw it there. You're supposed to be there. That's the wrong route. This is the wrong scheme. Like these type of things, I would like to see a little bit more of that. See, this is the stuff that me standing on the sideline as Joe Media Kenny Carmen doesn't get to see into. So that's why I do draw umbrage with, he went 9 for 9 yesterday. Oh, he went 7 for 11 yesterday. Bad day at the office. Went 4 for 12. You don't know. You don't know any of it. You don't know the situation. We all, for the most part, have our heads up our ass. That's why, I'll be brutally honest, that's why Lance is invaluable to us. Because Lance Reisland knows game scripts. He knows practice scripts. He knows what situations they're put into. So if Shador throws a ball where nobody's in the vicinity of where that ball's supposed to be, and the same for Dylan, maybe even the same for Kenny and Joe, if they throw up and people go, what was that about? You don't know the situation. You don't know. And it blows my mind. Because me being a loudmouth the way I am, and I am, when's the one time you could shut me up when football coaches are talking? Because you got guys who have been doing this a hell of a lot longer than me, and for whatever reason, they just won't shut their damn mouths when a head football coach or when a football coach in general is trying to teach them something. Actually takes the time to do it. So I'm not going to sit there and shoot my... I did it before back in the day, and I'm appalled that I did it. I shot my mouth off about guys in training camp and passes and things like that, but I didn't know what the hell I was looking at. Now, you have to understand that there are situations they're put into. So, Shador can go 9 for 9, he can go 4 for 12. It can mean the same damn thing. because he's throwing to Sal Cannella, and he's throwing to Luke Floria, and he's throwing to Cade McDonald, who's wearing number 31. He's throwing to Keyshawn Johnson, another Keyshawn Johnson.
Oh, that'd be
not
great,
that Keyshawn Johnson. And none of these guys are more than likely going to be in a starting lineup in the NFL anytime soon. And if he's able to conduct business with those guys, okay, you know what? Well, our wide receiver group isn't that great to begin with, so I can't say, oh, now you get the throw to... You get what I'm saying. Craig in Euclid. Hello, Craig.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hi, Craig.
How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing horrible. Thanks for asking. Go right on ahead.
Hey, you guys are so funny, but really good at what you do, man. I love the show.
I appreciate it.
Listen to it pretty much every day.
Thank you.
But just wanted to say, as far as the Shador thing and what's kind of going on, in my opinion... like you said, he was drafted late, way later than a large portion of the country expected. Mm-hmm. And, okay, we all kind of watched Shador grow up on this show and things and through Prime and seeing what he brings to the table and how well he's done with these young men. We've watched him go through the plight of what a lot of young men go through as far as starting at HBCU, working his way up to a big school, bigger school, and having success there. So the whole country, as you know, was tuned in to what Colorado was doing. Those guys definitely, you know, went through a lot of things and came out on top. They did really well. They surpassed expectations. And so we saw the awards that Shador won, you know, the golden arm. We saw the success he was having in accuracy, even with a pretty terrible team besides – I mean, I don't want to slam the team, but, you know, the offensive line was not protecting him.
Are you talking about Colorado?
Yeah, Colorado.
See,
Sorry about that.
Well, you know, yeah. I'm just called an excuse maker, and I'm going, guys, I mean, some of these transfer portals, and you know this, Craig. You got a transfer portal that opens up. Some of these guys join these teams. What, football season for some of these teams are just opening up camp. They start in 34 days. Some of these guys are seeing their programs for the first time. Colorado was starting players that showed up for the first time in fall camp.
Yeah, how crazy
is that?
That
means you're turning around and you're trying to get an offense going in 34 days. Yeah, and playing at a high level, at a high level. Go ahead, Craig.
Right. Yeah, so the point is that, you know, like I said, the slide, Shador dropping like he did was really heartbreaking for a large part of the company, a country. We had people like Mel Kiper and a lot of experts, even guys on your station, thinking that Shador would go, you know, to, you know, 22, whatever. So to see him drop like that, it really felt bigger than football. And so that's why when you get to the humble word, you got to be careful, because even though it's one word, it has dual meanings. And that kind of speaks to the, you know, origins of this country too.
Fair enough.
You know, when you get to saying humbled and you're trying to take someone's confidence, and it was being said that he possibly was dropped, you know, sliding like that because they were trying to humble him and his family. So that has a different implication to it.
Well, Craig,
so that's why you're getting these split camps kind of, you know,
that is fair. My argument was again, I don't think that anybody needs it, especially him. That was my argument, and I believe the Cool Ray took it out of context, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, that happens with communication all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know for the most part how you guys feel about, you know, being fair with it. And I've been a Browns fan for years, so I've watched the camps and people looking so promising, and then all of a sudden we get the season going. It's like, what the heck is this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the report card thing, is that something new with the, you know, how many completions and everything?
Or I am seeing it more and more all over the NFL.
Craig.
I'm like, I thought I've seen it, but I'm not sure. I'm like, am I crazy? But I'm not sure.
That one, and Craig, thank you very much for the call and the context here, is the report card. I think report card things are dangerous again. Oh, you're doing completions, interceptions, touchdowns, things like that. I mean, gosh, we don't know on things. I mean, they had a whole debate yesterday on whether or not there was a touchdown pass thrown by Shador Sanders or it would have been a sack, which Daniel Yafusi was the man who ended up being the tiebreaker on afternoon drive yesterday about that, which I'm thinking, my God in heaven, I think it shows our desperation for a quarterback, more desperate than we've ever had. And frankly, when it comes to Dillon Gabriel, I'll tell you this, we don't make a big deal about Dillon Gabriel.
I don't even like to look at his highlights.
Well, we don't make a big deal about Dylan Gabriel because we believe the ceiling is going to be higher for Shedeur Sanders.
But it's true. It's 100%
true. It's that simple. Yeah, that's why Kenny, we spend so much damn time on Shedeur Sanders is a celebrity, but you can't tell me that the majority of Browns fans out there, part of the reason we spend so much time on Shedeur Sanders is because, yes, where a lot of us thought he was going to go, so we believe the ceiling's going to be
higher. And we watched it. I obviously saw Dylan Gabriel. He played against Ohio State. But I was watching Shedeur. I was trying to analyze from day one, is this really an NFL quarterback? Is it somebody that can start? And yesterday, as I was getting into it with some people about, you know, hey, the two passes were amazing. I'd like to see him go past, you know, 5 yards on a lot more of these, take some more chances. Someone said, you're only doing that with Shedeur. I'm like, yes, because I don't care about the other guys. I hate to say it. You know, Joe Flacco, fine, start him week one, but I don't care about Joe Flacco going forward. Great guy, great interview. We've had him on the show. I love talking to him, picking his brain about football. I don't care. I don't care about Joe Flacco and long-term in the Browns. I don't care about Dylan Gabriel. I certainly don't care about Kenny Pickett. There's one guy I care about, and it's Shedeur Sanders because I believe his ceiling is higher. I might be wrong. Who knows? But that's just my belief. So obviously, I'm going to care much more about Shedeur Sanders, and I'm going to evaluate his throws on a much different playing field than everybody else.
Jimmy Haslam talking to the media at noon.
Training camp coverage powered by Genesee Brewing Company and Window Nation.
We will hear from Jimmy Haslam live here on The Fan as we're your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan, 92.3TheFan.com. That coming up at high noon. I think, and I know we only got a couple of minutes here, we got about last night coming up here at 7:43. I think the most telling thing about the Emmanuel Clase is that we spent, anytime we talk about Shedeur Sanders, it turns into a wildfire. And everybody starts talking about Shedeur Sanders. I think one of the most frustrating, not frustrating, but scary things to me about the entire Emmanuel Sanders or Emmanuel Clase situation is I think that you were way more passionate and Owen was way more passionate than anybody we've gotten on Twitter or on the phones today about Emmanuel Clase. I think a lot of people have just packed it up and it kind of is what it is.
Holy cow, not Owen at all.
I think they are disenchanted by what's happened throughout this season where they didn't do anything during the offseason. I think they're disenchanted because, frankly, I made excuses for the Dolans to begin the season. It was the Zach Meisel interview that changed my opinion on that when he kind of righted me on it. There was no kind about it. He righted me on some things that I thought to be true that weren't necessarily true about TV deals. And then it culminates with something like this where, yeah, you're right. We won't know the entire truth of it until August 31st, more than likely. And so there's a lot of things that you hold back on because you don't want to have to take back later on. But I think for the general fan, it's going, here is another problem that we have in this list of problems with this team that was supposed to be in the ALCS last year. And I think when it goes to the Browns, hey, we talk about Shedeur Sanders because there's a possibility for the future. We don't think they're going to do much this year, but there might be a possibility for the future. The Cavs, they're on the cusp. It's how do we get better? I think that there is a feeling right now with this fan base, and I'm going to jump into this more later on in the 8 o'clock hour. I think that there is a feeling with this fan base that they won't do what's necessary. And you can say that's wrong, and we'll hear more about that. They feel they won't do what's necessary to get them over the top. So what's the point of getting so worked up? I think that's some of the stuff I'm getting with the Emmanuel Clase stuff, because this is a major deal. This is a Major League Baseball issue. This is a pro sports issue. There could be some seediness in here that might not even, guys, honestly, from the stuff I'm reading, there's partially to this where you have to investigate whether or not this is even Luis Ortiz's and Emmanuel Clase's fault. And it seems that, yeah, you know what? Here's another thing that's just another problem for the 2025 Cleveland Guardians.